Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. So a great big show planned for you guys here today. A pretty fun looking Monday night football game. A lot of good looking prop betting opportunities for this one. Potential the shootout in Los Angeles. The Tua and the Dolphins in town to take on the Rams. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into our Week 10 recap. Then Brad Powers will be along maybe around 20 minutes into the show. Recap a little what we saw in college football on the weekend. Get into some of his best bets. Then in the third segment of the show, there's a lot to discuss in the world of the National Basketball Association. A lot of these stars just dropping like flies over the weekend. So we'll kick that around. Kick around some best bets as well. So if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know what you like in the Monday Night Football game. What do you like coming up here in college football? What do you like in the NBA? And a special thank you goes out to any veterans who might be watching today. Thank you very much for your service and your sacrifice. We appreciate you very much. Okay, so let's get into it here. Let's bring in my guy for the NFL segment of the day, the man with the sexiest smile in sports betting. Jingles, how was your weekend?
Weekend was fantastic. Habs Leafs Saturday night. Woke up, found out in my town they named a bridge after my family. So it was all winning all weekend. Tyrone Tracy, got a Tyrone Tracy carry. Needed over 17 and a half. Game goes to overtime. Gets one more carry for the over. Fumbles and they lose the game, but I don't care. Got the 18 carries.
I too have a bridge named after my family. So
do you?
No.
I thought that's a coincidence.
Can you imagine? So you went to the Leafs game in Toronto. What do they charge for a beer at the Scotiabank Arena?
So yeah, two beers is like $41.
41?
Yeah, plus tip. But I'm such a DJ. Yeah. I'll play. The people who sit next to me, like if you're at a game with me and you sit anywhere within four people around me, I'm going to be talking to you somehow. So I probably annoy a lot of people. But if we're in line for a beer and like you're sitting next to me and you're two and I'm one, I will always go. I'll play paper, scissors, stone with you right now. If you win, I'll buy both of you guys beers. If I win, you guys just buy me one beer. A little two for one action. Who doesn't want to take that?
I did some takeaway from that is you call it paper, scissors, stone. paper, scissors.
That's a take back from the Taiwanese days. That's for sure.
It's funny when you go out to these arenas and these ball games. It's like, whatever. I'm at a game. I'll spend $18 on a beer. But if I'm out at the grocery store, a box of cereal is not at least 50 cents off. I'm not buying it.
We went to the card show first, Joe, at the International Center, which was packed. And there was just way too many people to really enjoy it. $11 plus tip for a tall can.
Plus tip? I don't know about tipping at an arena after a, my God, that's out of control. Okay, enough expensive beer talk. Let's get into our Week 10 recap, our biggest winners and biggest losers of the week. Let's start positive. I will get us going here. My biggest winner of the week is Mike Tomlin. And it's not just because of the win yesterday. It's not just because the Steelers are now 8-0 after a bye over the last eight seasons. It is primarily because Tomlin made the call to bring in Russell Wilson as the starter when the team was winning with Justin Fields as the quarterback. So 3-0 with Russell Wilson now, who's been extremely confident. Do not be a hater. Do not hate on Mr. Unlimited. Six touchdowns, one interceptions for Wilson. 30.3 points per game with Russell Wilson as a quarterback. So yesterday, you look at the stat line. The stat line wasn't very impressive, but he really turned the clock back yesterday. He drove them down the field twice at the end of the game. Of course, there was that fumble. And then they go down again. Game-winning touchdown. Nice pass to Mike Williams there. Nice little lob off the back foot from Russell Wilson, who's looking pretty good. My second biggest winner, the Kansas City Chiefs. Come on. Hey, you can be a hater all you want with the Kansas City Chiefs, but somehow the two-time defending Super Bowl champions are a team of destiny, just finding stupid ways to win week after week. All these close games. Nobody is better than the Kansas City Chiefs in these one-score games when it's tight with 2 minutes left on the clock. So yesterday, of course, they win it by blocking a game-winning field goal attempt. How many times have you ever seen that? That's pretty rare right there. What makes this team scary is, just like last season, their defense is better than their offense, which is quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes, who's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, who's still in his prime. And now all of a sudden, the special teams has always been pretty good, but now they're lights out right now. So they still have the Panthers, Raiders, and Browns left on their schedule. They are undefeated. Give them the number one seed here. The road to the Super Bowl through the AFC will go through Kansas City. Big win by them yesterday. And my third biggest winner of the week, we got to go to the Lions defense here. That was an absolute masterclass on the road by them. They were put in a lot of bad positions because Jared Goff couldn't stop throwing interceptions in that game, but they were down 23-7 at half, and they shut out the Texans in the second half. They only allowed 3.8 yards per play. So big shout out to Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator of the Lions. And an honorable mention goes to Saints' new head coach, Darren Rizzi, who clogged the toilet at the stadium. I'm sure that's something you're familiar with,
Jingles. That was a funny tweet, though. Like, first game, you're like, that's a tweet that they're going to put out? That's wild. I'm sure the reporter asked if they were allowed to put that out, but it was a pretty open thing from a special teams coach, now the interim coach.
Indeed. Okay, buddy, your biggest winners of the week. What are we looking at?
Kyler Murray back on it again. We said he couldn't win two games. He's now won three games, 22-24. And why is he a winner too? He pretty much ends the Jets season, which is just so nice. Like, that was such a one-sided game where everything was ready to go. And it's time for Arizona to be taken seriously. Only QB since 1950 to win a game, pass for a touchdown, rush two touchdowns, and complete 90% of his passes. A lot to like about Kyler Murray going forward. Detroit, Kansas City, obviously just good teams finding ways to win. I don't know if the narrative of we haven't seen the best of Kansas City yet. I don't know. It's funny. Their offense can improve. They're still the number one third down offense. They're kind of ugly on early downs, but that defense is legit. And I've been rolling over, I think I made some content like 3 weeks ago, rolling over their money line from like three games ago to do it to get to 17-0 because it was a better price than getting them to be 17-0. So this week is a big week in that game with the Buffalo. And then after that, that schedule gets pretty light. And did you see the guy, I believe it's the left guard or the left tackle, get absolutely blown up on that field goal attempt? Like, that guy got run over. Yeah, I don't even know if he was ready or if he knew the snap count. Detroit, Kansas City's check. How about Germany? Give them a little credit. They got somewhat of a football game. 2017 isn't a lot. There wasn't a lot of passing. It was more on the ground, but Daniel Jones leads a game-tying drive at the end, and then obviously in Carolina, New York, Giants fashion, they fumble on the first play scrimmage in overtime. So those are my winners. Germany actually got a decent game, 650 yards of offense, still 12 punts, but at least they got something. I thought that game was going to be even worse.
So you got to think the door will be open for Bryce Young continuing on as the Panthers starter into next season. I mean, it's not like there's a ton of great quarterbacks that will be available in the upcoming draft, but could you imagine if they had a decent offensive line and maybe one really good receiver on that team? Like, give the guy a little bit of a chance. He's been competent the past 2 weeks. The stat lines aren't going to blow anybody away. Do you think they'll stick it out with that guy?
I mean, the capital they've spent for him deserves to have it, right? Like, you gave him a hell of a run last year, and now he's playing with, I don't know, the thought of not being, like, they didn't even commit to him starting next week. Like, that was out in the open going into the game in week 10. So he's playing with a lot of pressure. His team's awful. There's just absolutely nothing positive coming out regarding the media and how that team is run right now. But he's winning football games, and that's kind of where he should be.
Build the offensive line. Give him a receiver to throw to. Travis Hunter, maybe. Who knows? Okay, let's get negative. Let's get nasty.
Uh-oh.
Let's get pessimistic. Week 10's biggest losers. My biggest loser of the week was one of the head coaches in that game in Germany. Brian Daboll of the New York Giants, head coach. And everyone, all we want to do is hate on Daniel Jones. Point the finger at Daniel Jones. He sucks. We've known he has sucked for 4 years, for his entire career, yet they keep throwing him out there. Brian Daboll is a guy who's dining out on the fact that in his first year as head coach of the Giants, he gets that team into the Super Bowl. This is supposed to be an offensive-minded head coach. The Giants, 28th in scoring, 28th in yards per play, dead last in the red zone. And that quarterback of yours, that sucks. How about giving him a little bit of help? He's been sacked 30 times already this season. The offensive line has always sucked. Yeah, Brian Daboll, people like to give this guy a pass because Daniel Jones sucks. Quit blaming Daniel Jones. We know he sucks. And so does Brian Daboll, his head coach. My number two biggest loser. You know, I usually do give these young quarterbacks a pass and say, hey, this guy is set up to fail. You got to give him more time to breathe. But Caleb Williams, this guy, he should be being held to a different standard. And I don't give him a pass. He's surrounded by a lot of great playmakers. And it's not like he's playing average or below average. He's been really bad. He's on this three-game stretch right now where he's barely completing 50% of his passes. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in three games. He's supposed to be a dual threat quarterback, just 20 rushing yards over the last two games. He's playing bad football. Like I said, he's held to a different standard. This isn't a third round draft pick. This is a guy that we were told is the second coming of Patrick Mahomes. Meanwhile, he's getting outplayed by Drake May yesterday. Can you name more than two skill players that Drake May is playing with? What about the offensive line in front of Drake May? Drake May's coach sucks too. Yet how did the Bears do yesterday? Absolutely brutal. And my third biggest loser of the week, it's got to be the Houston Texans. They had an opportunity there yesterday on their home field last night versus maybe the best team in football, the Detroit Lions, to get back on track, to have people start to take them seriously again. They're a good team. They are a beneficiary of being a good team in a really bad division. They are not among the upper tier teams in the AFC. I think they'll be one and done in the playoffs here. Most likely, they're not one of the big boys in the AFC. They blew a, what was it, a 23-7 lead at home there. And dishonorable mention, I got to pick the Jets. I'm tired of talking about the Jets every week.
We know
here.
The Jets and the Cowboys are brutal. We get it. Yeah, we can't put them in there every week.
But at least the Cowboys, it's like, okay, they're right there with Cooper Rush and blah, blah. Like, kind of, you know, I don't know if you give them a pass
for
that. Bad
performance from Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
But the Jets, what's your excuse, Jets? And I know I'm a Jets hater. I admit that. But the moment you think, hey, maybe they have a little bit of momentum, an opportunity to turn a corner, you go back to Monday, or they came into this game with extra rest. They had that win against the Texans. You think, hey, maybe they could go on a little bit of a run here. The Cardinals are good. The Cardinals are a powerhouse by any means. But this one's on Aaron Rodgers. 6 points? Really? Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be the leader of this team. This is his mess. He built this mess. He brings in his best friend, Devontae Adams. He's got Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, a lot of great playmakers. 6 points? That's
extra,
absolutely
extra rest,
pathetic.
Too, coming off Thursday night, too, Joe. Like no excuses. There's none.
That's pathetic. And one more thing about the Jets. Is there a more overrated player in the NFL than Sauce Gardner? This guy cannot tackle a player to save his life. It was do you see this one? He tries to take down McBride. He had McBride for a loss or stopped him before the first down line. McBride just pushes him aside, throws him to the ground. Absolutely embarrassing. So the Jets. They gave me new material every week. Stop it with the Jets here. Okay, your biggest losers of the week. Who are we looking at?
Todd Albright does bring up an honorable mention to the sun with at AT&T Stadium. Have you seen like how bad that sun is? Oh, that looks awful. Like you spend all of that money and your afternoon game is just a glaring sun.
Now,
right the end zone.
Before all the stuff came out about it in the media, the content, social media yesterday, I'm thinking like, couldn't they have built the stadium in a different direction so that like, am I stupid to be thinking that? Like,
no, it's dead like, on. It's like dead 12 o'clock right there, right in the
couldn't
way.
Couldn't you
of
have
everything.
Shifted it like a couple degrees? Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
anyways.
It is quite ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, the Bears are ridiculous too. 19-3 is not good at home, especially versus New England. Shane Waldron and that offense, just 27 points in their last three games. Like Caleb Williams, you talk about everything around him. it's sometimes it just doesn't fit well, right? Like Keenan Allen looks old and slow. DJ Moore's not really happy with his situation. It looks like Caleb Williams got sacked 9 times, bro. 9 times. Like there were videos of him getting picked up by New England players and then patting him on the head because they knew he was getting absolutely decimated. Some of that's on him. His time to throw is too high. But things have gone south. There was that 2-game window where we're like, okay, he's back throwing 300 yards. But no, this is a bad, bad situation right from Matt Eberflus too, who might be clinging to a job, which is really sad to say with all the issues that the Bears have had with their head coaching. What have they got? And it doesn't get any easier, Joe. It's like Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, Minnesota, Detroit, yeah. Seattle, and Green Bay. That might be as tough as a schedule coming up. And for a guy who's not riding a lot of confidence and an offense that's absolutely in the ruts with 0 touchdowns in its last 23 drives, it's not going to get any better. Sam Darnold, everybody loved Minnesota going forward. Sam Darnold was there. Guess what? Sam Darnold was not him this week. Bailed out by the defense? Yes. 3 interceptions inside Jacksonville territory? Just dumb plays? Yes. 6 turnovers in his last 2 games. Minnesota might be regretting not adding to their quarterback depth at the deadline. And what do I got for my last one here? Have I gotten the Bengals? Like, yeah, Thursday night's tough, but like, it is just absolutely comical to score 72 points and almost have 1,000 yards of offense in 2 games versus a division opponent and come away with 0 wins. Like, I don't know where, like, is it on Lou? Is it on the defense? Is it on Taylor? Like, there's a lot of finger pointing to go on in Cincinnati, and I don't think it's on Joe Burrow, obviously, because he's been absolutely balling out. But you just can't do that. Someone in the chat said, how does Kansas City and Detroit win games? A lot of that comes down to maybe coaching, special teams, and smaller things that teams like the Bengals just don't seem to have in games. Same with Houston. Like, games they should win, they just don't.
The Bengals are a horribly run organization, so their defense took the second half off in that game. I think we kind of kicked that around on Friday's show. And the fact that they didn't pay Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to have to pay him more than he probably wanted. This guy's going off for 200-yard games.
Like the second biggest game ever of, like, I think versus a divisional opponent in the game in one season, 2 games. It's like the biggest offensive output any player's had. So, and you lose both games. That's insane.
It's funny, though. They're still alive.
I know they are, right? But, like, they would have only been, like, a half game back of Baltimore if they actually win that game. And that's just a testament to how good Joe Burrow's actually playing.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, fun-looking Monday night football game. Maybe not from a fandom perspective. From my perspective as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, really? I got to watch the Dolphins play a standalone game again? These tend not to go very well. So let's get into the bets here. So my first bet, it should be obvious, the Rams inside of 3 points on their home field versus the Miami Dolphins. Absolutely. Sign me up. Rams to cover the spread, -2.5 points. So Rams, I pointed this one out last week when I picked them to cover against the Seahawks. They're on their way to being a second half wagon. Again, 3 straight wins out of their bye. Things really coming together. Team getting healthy. Cup and Nacua, of course, back in the lineup. Miami, this was... People went to town on this last season. No one's really paying attention to it anymore because the Dolphins aren't winning. But they don't beat good teams. They cannot play up to the competition. They are 1-14 straight up in their last 15 games as an underdog. Not very good. 5-10 ATS, but this being inside of 3, I'm very comfortable throwing out that 1-14 straight up stat. I know the Dolphins. I watch every single snap of their season since I've been, 20 years old. They are awful in prime time. Not just this season, but this season, I will point out, they have a loss to 21 to the Bills and 19 to the Tennessee Titans. Both of those games on their home field, by the way. They stink in standalone games. Like I said,
they lost by 19 points at home to Tennessee this year.
On Monday Night Football, Tyler Huntley's debut. But watch Mike McDaniel on the sideline tonight when things get tight. You can see it. The body language absolutely sucks. He starts to shrink. He gets so tense. Now, I'm sure next Sunday when their game against the Raiders at home will be buried in the 1 p.m. Eastern time slot on Sunday, they're probably going to look great. They do not look good. In these games, they will fall apart. I think they're going to look okay offensively. More on that in a little bit here. But, yeah, Mike McDaniel stinks in these big spots. So I'm going to take the Rams to cover the spread. Jingles, your first prop bet, Jonnu Smith, one that I am aligned with you on.
I know, but like out of nowhere, you're like, where's Jonnu Smith really come from and why has he become such a big part of this offense? So you're like, okay, Tua comes back. Maybe he was just getting a heavy workload because of backup quarterbacks tend to target their tight ends a little more with shorter routes. But he's been targeted at least six times with Tua back. We're not 100% sure what's the deal with Tyreek here. Not 100% healthy, so maybe some more snaps going this way. But it's all a lot of his production has come at the expense of Jalen Waddle, and that's kind of we're still going up. His routes are going up. His snaps are up. There hasn't been a really big change. We already see it in the chat. 10P Kate says he likes the over 3.5 catches. I love that spot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just out here betting it because he's good, and I know that the number has gone up from 28.5 to 34.5, but the projection here is over 40, about 45 yards from the blitz. There's a lot to like in this spot. It's an indoor game. That doesn't always get priced in. So Jonnu Smith just continuing to be like basically the epitome of what this team is. Why are we not playing good football? Well, you give Jonnu Smith the ball too much, and hopefully that continues. But a bit of the reason why Miami's been a head-scratching team offensively.
Okay, JPC Forrest says, but if they win, that Dolphins helmet will be right back behind Joe tomorrow on BYB. That I will promise you. If the Dolphins can win a primetime game as an underdog, yes, the helmet will be going back up tomorrow. I do not think that that will happen, though. Okay, another bet that I like very much. I like this game to go over the total of 48.5 points. So the Dolphins have really played a cupcake schedule of opposing quarterbacks, but their defense is getting absolutely stomped when they play a competent offense. The Bills scored 30 and 31 against them. Arizona got to 28 against them a couple of weeks ago. This Rams offense, they do look ready to explode. Matthew Stafford getting great protection. He hasn't been sacked in two straight games. 30 points scored in their last home game against the Vikings, who have a much better defense than that of the Dolphins. And I do think this game sets up very nicely for Tua. LA is tied for last in yards per pass attempt allowed. They are allowing a lot of big chunk plays. I think this environment sets up very nicely for Tua. He played in the stadium last season. It came against a different team, of course, but he did go off for 466 at SoFi Stadium last. And like I said, perfect environment, not much of a home field advantage for the Rams. It's indoors, so no crazy weather stuff to come into play. So yeah, I think the game sets up nicely for Tua and they'll be able to get some points up, but eventually lose the game. Jingles, you like some scoring here tonight too. You're going a different way though. You're going both teams to score at least 20.
Yeah, I was just, while you were talking, I was looking because looking back at the Buffalo box score of Miami, Josh Allen did not play a very good game versus Miami. The scoring came late, but like they still allowed 30 points somehow versus like a dink and dunk Josh Allen passing offense that didn't have Amari Cooper. But this is a spot where even if we don't get 100% Tyreek Hill, I still like Miami to put up points. Obviously, everybody's back in for the Rams, but like it's been a spot where I don't think it's really. We've gotten the best of all of them, right? So game one, when they both come back, Cooper Kupp surprisingly dresses and doesn't get much action, and it goes to Puka Nacua. Now Kupp might be a little healthier. Last week, Puka Nacua threw a baby punch and got thrown out of the game. So this is might be the best spot where everybody's finally healthy. You also got guys like DeMarcus Robinson who are flying under the radar with 12 catches and 127 yards and multiple TDs in his last two games. So there's lots of offense on both sides. Achane's been absolutely insane in the passing game, so both guys can go up and down the field. Tua only has 7 games indoors in his life, and his numbers are fantastic indoors. So indoor game, passing volume up, like the over. And like 20 points for both teams when the spread's about 3 and 49 has this projected at about 27-23. I like both teams scoring 20 here tonight.
Okay, one more for Monday Night Football. Then we go to Brad for college football. My favorite prop of the game, it's a little dinky bet. I like these little dinky bets sometimes. I like Raheem Mostert to go over 7.5 receiving yards. So he is 3 for 3 against this number with Tua as a starter. He had 32 receiving yards last week versus the Buffalo Bills. It might just take one catch. He's averaging 10.1 yards per catch this season. He has a double-digit yard reception in 3 of the 5 games he's played in this season. Rams not great against running backs in the pass game. They're allowing 9.2 yards per catch to running backs, and Tua's not throwing a lot of deep balls. He ranks 38th in the NFL in average air yards per attempt. So a lot of dump offs. I think a few of them go to Mostert tonight, and he goes over 7.5 receiving.
Yeah, Adchain's receiving total is at like 44.5. That is a gigantic number.
Yeah, hopefully some receptions to go around for both running backs here for the Dolphins tonight. Okay, Jingles, you're going to be right back with us on Thursday. Tell the good people what else you have going on out there for us here at Covers.
I got some hockey shows coming up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Doing that live. The Blitz coming off another 4-0 night. We're 5-0 on the Thursday, I believe. So it's been a pretty hot little weekend for the Blitz. Go check out that show. That's available. And we got some afternoon hockey, Joe. Buffalo, Montreal at 12:40. So we're going to stack some lines there, posted the plays. And a little something to get me through the day. So I don't think you say happy Novemberance Day, but yeah, definitely a day to remember and think about stuff. Everything that's happened. So go out. Did we miss? I think I missed the moment of silence. So I'll get back. I'm off today, but I appreciate it, Joe. Big Monday night game. Let's get your Dolphins on the board with a bunch of points. How about that?
A bunch of points, but not a cover. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining. We'll catch you. We'll catch you on Thursday.
All right, pal. Take care.
Yeah, it's either all or nothing as a Dolphins fan. Either make a push, get into the playoffs, or bottom out, have a top early draft pick and a last place schedule going into next season. You don't want to be stuck in the middle. Okay, let's switch gears over to college football. Go down to our guy in sunny Las Vegas representing the Los Angeles Chargers. Brad, how are we making out?
Doing well. Thanks for having me as always.
Indeed. So a very eventful weekend in college football. The big games weren't very competitive, unfortunately, but we're going to see some shakeups here in the playoff rankings when those come out later on in the week. So we'll start like we always do on your Monday appearance. Take two, your biggest two takeaways out of the weekend.
Well, first, I stink. I went 1-4, so that's not good. And I'll tell you who else stinks. Two conferences, the Big 12 and the ACC, two conferences that are going to get, believe it or not, the 3-4 seeds in this upcoming playoff. And I'm not sure that they're deserving of that right now. I've said this now a couple weeks. They're only getting one bid, and that's the conference champ. And even that team that wins the conference champ in the ACC or the Big 12, I don't have a single team in either conference in my top 10 of my power rankings right now. So they should feel very fortunate. They're just getting one team in. And then the other takeaway is, you know, this time of year, unbeaten pressure is real. Miami unbeaten team loses outright to Georgia Tech. Indiana's a covering machine all season. They nearly lose outright to Michigan. BYU should have lost outright as an unbeaten team. Oregon doesn't cover. And then, of course, the team that I do fade, Army, does cover, but North Texas has three trips inside the 10-yard line, come away with 0 points. So it's not like Army played that well either. So I'm looking more to fade than follow the unbeaten teams at this point in the season.
Okay, from a big picture perspective, I think the most meaningful result was probably Ole Miss defeating Georgia 28-10. So let's discuss these two teams. We'll start with Ole Miss, right around 10-1 to win the national championship. Do you give them a chance?
Yeah, I give them more than a chance. I mean, forget competing for the title. I think they can win the title. So 10-1 is not a bad bet. Obviously, I could go with the boring answer and say, well, they still need to win their remaining games and just mechanical parlay them on the money line, their final two regular season games, and then likely four playoff games. But how they have played the last 2 weeks, even going back to the Arkansas game where they annihilated them on the road, and then obviously last week, you know, dominating Georgia, really, even maybe more than the final. I mean, Georgia was a team that won 51 straight games against everybody not named Alabama, and Ole Miss, you know, took care of business and then some in that game. Ole Miss has the best defensive front in the country. You know, the favorite simple wise guy stat, yards per play margin, they're number one in the country in that. The only thing that's been hanging, you know, that is the drawback on them is their head coach, who's brilliant, Lane Kiffin. It's just not, he's not buttoned up, and he's one of the major reasons why they lost two games outright as a favorite. But if they play up to their capabilities and play their A game, they're as good as anybody.
Ooh, baby. Okay, so let's discuss the loser of that game. We often say futures betting is all about timing. Sometimes you want to target a team off a loss. You know, Georgia has been in the mix throughout the entire course of the season. You could always make a good case for them to win the national championship. Now they're all the way down at plus 800 to win the national championship. Do you think they're worth a bet at that number?
Yeah, I mean, statistically, I mean, I still have number three in my power ratings. They're still as talented as anybody. You know, obviously, boring answer is going to say, hey, they still got to win three regular season games just to get to the playoff. They probably don't play in the SEC championship game, but then they got to win four straight playoff games. So, again, money line rollover each week's probably better payout in the end. I know you don't want to hear that. You know, bet a lot to win a little and just compound interest. But with that being said, look, if they play their A game, yes, it's great. The problem is I've only seen it for like two games out of 10 so far this season. So Carson Beck is not buttoned up. They don't have the elite skill position players like they used to. They don't have that dominant top five, top 10 pick on the defensive front. So, yeah, they're still there. They're in the mix. I think they'll make the playoff and they can make some noise. But, boy, they got some holes compared to what the recent additions have had.
Carson Beck all the way down to 30-1 to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. I think a lot of people scoffed at that anyways when they saw that, but I don't know. You're starting to see his true colors here maybe in some of these bigger games. And Shedeur Sanders now I saw 2-1 to be the top overall pick, which I kind of think makes sense. If people could talk themselves into a player like Anthony Richardson, then why not Sanders, right? Yeah. Okay, so Colorado football, speaking of that, a bit of a shakeup here. The Heisman race has been fun, just looking at it from an odds perspective. Travis Hunter is the new front runner, plus 130. Do you agree with that?
I do. You know, obviously he's been doing something historical at a high level, playing both sides of the ball, something we haven't seen in forever in college football. The biggest knock always on Travis Hunter wasn't anything to do with his stats or his performance on either offense or defense. It was always, keep in mind, the Heisman is also kind of a team award. You got to win a bunch of games. And the knock on Hunter was Colorado's win total is 5.5. I mean, is Colorado going to win enough games for him to be in the Heisman mix? And they've answered that one and then some. I mean, Colorado right now favored in the remaining three games to finish 10-2. They control their destiny for the Big 12 championship game. So they've answered that question. Hunter deserves to be the Heisman favorite. And old BP is going to lose a ton of money on the Heisman futures market. I don't like that.
Oh, boy. Okay. So we're at the point of the season where a lot of these teams, nothing to play for but pride. A lot of teams had aspirations of getting into the 12-team playoff, but it's not going to happen. So out of teams that are out of playoff contention, who would you say is the most disappointing?
Well, I mean, the easy answer is Florida State because 13-0 to, you know, probably 2-10. I mean, is as bad as we've ever seen in the history of college football from one season to the next. I mean, you could also say Michigan, national champs to fighting for their life for bowl eligibility. Again, something we haven't seen in the history of college football. I'm going to go off the beaten path, though. I'll say Utah, who was a preseason Big 12 favorite. If you know anything about Utah, they have program stability. I mean, same head coach for a quarter century, same offensive coordinator, same defense coordinator. They're not a team that's, you know, has a lot of peaks and valleys as a program. Utah, you know, Florida State and Michigan were expected to take a step back. Utah was expected to take a step forward this year. And we saw it. They were 4-0 at the start of the season, overwhelming favorite to make the playoff and be the Big 12, you know, the champion. And now they're not even probably going to make a bowl game. They'll probably be an underdog in their last three games from 4-0 to probably 4-8 or 5-7. That's incredibly disappointing and shocking.
Indeed. Okay, Brad, let's get into a couple of best bets here. We look to rebound this week. You have two for us, a couple of smallish underdogs. Let's start with Kansas +3.5. They're taking on BYU. Why do you like Kansas to cover?
Yeah, we'll start with what I said earlier. I'm beating pressure for BYU, playing a little tight. And this is a BYU team that I think is overrated. They're 4-0 in close games. Forget the on the play last week. You change a questionable call at the end of the game. They lose that game to Utah. They don't win it. So I think they're a little overrated. I think Kansas is one of the most underrated teams in the country. Kansas 0-5 in one possession games. Change a couple plays in their season, and they're completely different. And I will say this. If we're talking recent form, I think Kansas is playing as well as anybody in the Big 12 right now. They should have beaten Kansas State on the road. They beat Iowa State last week. So I like Kansas +3.5.
All right, next up, Michigan State. They're a 3-point underdog taking on Illinois. Once again, you like the underdog here.
I do. I like this one's quite simple. You look at the basic yards per play margin. Michigan State's better than Illinois. Michigan State's played a much more difficult schedule than Illinois. Both teams are off a bye, and I trust Michigan State's head coach, Jonathan Smith, to come up with a better game plan than Illinois. Made the number 1.5. We're sitting on a key number 3. Let's take the 3.
Indeed. Okay, there you have it. Two best bets from Brad. Brad, we will leave it at that, but of course you will be back with us on Friday to kick around a couple more topics, get into some big games, get into a couple more best bets. So until then, best of luck with your handicapping, and we'll catch you
on Friday. Thanks for having me, Joe. Take care. Good luck this week.
Yes, sir. Right there. Yes, we're looking to crush. Good week last week. Let's do the same again. They're calling me Mr. Monday Night around here at Covers. Actually, I am calling myself that, and hopefully we can have another good one, and that can pick up. And I would invite the rest of you guys to call me that. Okay, let's shift gears over to the NBA, where we have some dark days. Allow me to explain that. First, we say hello to our NBA expert, John Mettler. John, how we doing?
Good. Are you fired up for the NBA Cup? Starts tomorrow, Tuesday, Friday this week.
No, I am not, to be honest. let's be real. I don't get fired, but you know, I could see why some people would. What I will say about these NBA Cup games is I find that it's safer to go with the player prop overs because the point margin of victory matters in these, right?
Yeah, I feel like even last year you kind of saw some teams not take that seriously at the start of, I mean, it was the first time it ever happened. And they kind of got burned when they got to that fourth game. I'm sure they would have played it differently. So I think there's a couple of teams, it might be more widely like playing your starters and pushing them minutes a little. They've also set it up a little better too. Like no teams playing today or playing tomorrow. So there's no back end of a back-to-back on your NBA Cup game. So I think they've kind of also set it up a little nicely for them. Last year, some teams had back-to-backs last year. It was really weird.
Yeah, some good betting angles there. I think, you know, you have these situations where like the good teams won't play down to the competition as much as they ordinarily would in other situations. So yeah, something to keep in mind when these NBA Cup games are going down. So dark days here for the NBA a little bit, John. They talk about TV ratings are down. I don't know. Sometimes you could take that with a bit of a grain of salt because, you know, streaming and all that stuff. But these injuries are getting out of control. Like, of course, we know Embiid still hasn't played. Tyrese Maxey went down last week. Then since Friday, Zion, KD, Ja Morant, Chet Holmgren, all injured. And they're all going to miss a decent chunk of time here. Any thoughts? Do you think any one of these injuries in particular will sink one of these teams?
I think the one team to keep an eye on, I was thinking about that this morning, is the Oklahoma City Thunder, because I think everyone does kind of view them as a team that can win the entire thing. So if they do kind of start to fall off just a little bit, and it starts to push their odds back. You know, they're like, I think they open around plus 700. They obviously started the year really, really strong. This is probably your window. You're not rooting for injuries, but this is probably your window. Maybe if they play 500 ball for a month, that you could jump in and grab them to win a championship at a better price, because eventually Holmgren will be back. He's out around 10 weeks. So that puts them into like February. I mean, Isaiah Hartenstein is also someone who eventually will be back. They, like I've said before, they have a bajillion first round picks where if they are facing injuries and they don't have enough depth, they could go trade for literally anyone. So, I mean, that doesn't really concern you. I think this is that's the one injury that kind of grabs your mind, just from probably might present an opportunity. Who knows? The Thunder are so good though. Like they do still have so much depth. They honestly might just keep rolling. So just something to keep an eye on. Something I was thinking about.
I think the Pelicans are absolutely screwed. And it's not just because of the Zion injury. It's because DeJounte Murray has been out. CJ McCollum's been out. Herbert Jones. I mean,
Trey Murphy's that's just... Tonight.
What's that?
Trey Murphy's supposed to be, I think, back tonight, they said. But like that, they're such a weird team too, because they came into the year with too many wings. And you're talking about trading Brandon Ingram because you had too many guys. And now Brandon Ingram's the only guy who's been playing because everyone's injured. So very unfortunate for them. They're obviously expecting to have like a much better year.
Yeah. As I often say about Zion and these big men with injury histories, these big guys don't get healthier as they age. So we might've seen the best of Zion in the NBA. It's unfortunate, but maybe true. Okay. So six total bets in the NBA, 4 from you, 2 from me, props from you, spreads from me. So let's start with a prop, Donovan Mitchell. What do you like from him tonight?
Yeah, I like him to go over 4.5 assists. So I played this in the last two games. He hasn't gotten over 4.5 assists either game. It's been, I was put De'Aaron Fox flashbacks because it's honestly the same vibe of last year. We did this, I think we lost like 4 straight bets on De'Aaron Fox. And you're like, the minutes are there, the projections there, the potential assists are there. It's kind of has that same energy. So hopefully he gets over this tonight and we can just put this to bed with Mitchell here. He's playing the Chicago Bulls. Even the last, so like on, I bet this on Saturday, he had 1 assist. If you look at that, you're like, oh, it sucks. He had 8 potential assists. So, I mean, it's not as bad. Someone's got to make shots. You do like the matchup with the Bulls. You know, Nikola Vucevic is on the interior. He's not a great defender, not a rim protector. You have Jared Allen. You have Evan Mobley. You have two lob threats. You have guys who can finish dunks. You would just think that, like, basketball-wise, the numbers are there with Mitchell, but basketball-wise, you would think that this also plays against the Chicago Bulls, and the Chicago Bulls are more the defense isn't great. Donovan Mitchell should be able to get to wherever he wants on the court as well. So I'm coming back to this probably the last time. If this misses, I will probably leave it alone for a little bit. But Donovan Mitchell over 4.5 assists, even money.
Okay, I'm going to start with an underdog bet here. I'm going to back the LA Clippers coming in at +7 in OKC, taking on the Thunder that we were just talking about. So LA is starting to find a rhythm here. 4 straight wins. They've been great on the road too. 3-0 on the road this season with wins in Denver, Golden State, and Sacramento. 3 pretty good teams right there. We talked about the Holmgren injury. OKC's front court, that's a massive hit with him going down. Of course, Isaiah Hartenstein hasn't played yet, allowing offensive rebounds. That's been a weakness of the Thunder here so far this season. They could be in a lot of trouble on the inside in this game. And the Clippers keeping things close in losses. 3 of their 4 losses are by 6 points or less. They play at a slow pace. They keep the scoring down. So this could be a tight, lower scoring game. So I'll take the Clippers there. I think that's too many points at +7. Next up, Wembanyama. What do you like for him?
Yeah, I'm going Wembanyama over 3.5 assists. So we didn't have a show on Seconds of Saturday. I bet both these guys on Saturday, and they both lost. So it's like a day of reliving trauma from Saturday because we're coming back. And Wembanyama was very similar to Donovan Mitchell because I was like, I think in the fourth quarter, he had 0 assists. And I was like, I just hope he finishes with 0 because I want this price to even be even better come Monday. And that's exactly what we got. We got 3.5 +125. Again, another matchup where you're like, I feel like I need to play this again because of who he's playing. He's playing the Sacramento Kings. It's not a good spot for the Kings either. They just played an overtime game yesterday against the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. Now they go to San Antonio. But what I do like about this is, you know, Sabonis is, Wembanyama is shooting a ton of 3-pointers. Sabonis is going to have to come out. He's not the best interior protector of the rim even to begin with, and the Kings don't really have anyone else to protect the rim. It's more wings and like guards and speed and stuff. So if Sabonis is being pulled out, Wembanyama should be able to find cutters for layups and around the, they should be able to convert potential assists. I did really like, and this is what I liked about Saturday too when I was betting him, Devin Vassell is back. He's a scorer. He's a shooter. It gives someone else in this lineup who can convert potential assists for Wembanyama because, you know, big thing about assists is you need teammates who are good enough to convert them for you. And I think Devin Vassell really adds to that. So that's why I went after this on Saturday. It's also why 3.5 +125, I'm coming back for it again tonight.
Okay, next up for me, another spread bet. Let's go Nets. Brooklyn Nets going to back the Nets as a road favorite. What's going on here? They're favored by 1.5 versus those New Orleans Pelicans. So Brooklyn's here to compete. Pelicans, one of the worst teams in the NBA. So Brooklyn, their coach has been playing hard. 7-1 ATS in their last 8 games, hanging around versus good teams this season like the Cavs, Celtics, and Nuggets. The Pelicans, they scored 88 points last time out versus the Magic, 27th in net rating this season. The Nets are 16th, respectable for them. New Orleans, they've been especially bad on the defensive end. Over the last 5 games, they are dead last in defensive rating and opponent effective field goal percentage, 28th in points allowed in those 5 games, which is an issue because they don't have the offense to keep up here. So scoring options are pretty bleak. Zion's out now. McCollum's out. Murray's out, of course. Brandon Ingram and Jordan Hawkins. Big scoring options for them here tonight. So, yeah, I like the Nets to keep rolling here. ATS, and I'll take them to cover by 1.5. And you like a net to contribute to the scoring here. Cam Thomas, what do you like for him?
Yeah, BYB points prop, first one. Actually, I have 2 today. Cam Thomas, over 22.5 points. So very similar to Trae Young, Tyrese Haliburton when we played their assists last week. Again, certain guys, when you just see an edge to the number on someone, I'm going to take it because Cam Thomas is like a professional chucker. He's going to shoot. There's literally no defender who's going to stop him from getting his field goal attempts up. The one thing you do like, and you've highlighted this because we talked about the Pelicans here, is they should be able to create advantages for him just in general. Like Jose Alvarado, I imagine, might be the primary defender on him, but he's just going to shoot over the top of him. I mean, Cam Thomas has never met a shot he doesn't like, so I don't think Jose Alvarado is really going to bother him. The flip of that is, you know, there's no Herb Jones, there's no DeJounte Murray. So in terms of like creating advantages, they should be able to do that. You should be able to set some screens, do some things, get some switches and stuff. I mean, the guys playing for the Pelicans are backups for a reason. So, and their best defenders are injured. So 22.5, I think he was like projected for about 25. So I'm going to play Cam Thomas. It's interesting. Jordy Fernandez is like running with him. Like his minutes have been sus the last couple of years. He just comes out, drops 40, then plays 20 minutes the next game. He's consistently playing like 33, 34 minutes. So he liked that too.
Indeed. Okay. Final pick of a show packed with picks today. Chris Paul. What are you looking at for him?
Yeah, Chris Paul. Chris Paul over 9.5 points, plus 101. So he's gone under three straight games here. So it's dropped his total from 11.5 to 9.5. Chris Paul's shooting a ton of three-pointers. He's shooting 5.4 threes per game. I mean, if you're someone who's going to go out there and shoot six threes a game, like last game he was 0 for 6, so he went under his points prop, but you're 0 for 6 from three, and you're typically like a 38% three-point shooter. If you're going to go there and shoot six threes and then shoot 38%, 9.5 is not a big total, and he's getting minutes. I do think I put this on the Wembanyama graphic. I didn't talk about it. You know, the Kings are on a back-to-back. It's not a great spot. They're in Phoenix last night, overtime game. It's like a one-point spread for this game. The Spurs, if you're Greg Popovich, they are trying to win this year. Like, they're not just tanking. So there's only so many spots where they probably feel like they could win this game. So Chris Paul, the minutes projection when he was about like 28, 29 minutes, seems it's pretty fair to like what he's been playing, but could you see him playing 32, 33 and they try to steal a win here against the Kings? I could totally see it. And also, this is kind of correlate with Wembanyama assist Chris Paul points where I feel like they're going to run a bunch of actions together. So kind of a nice pairing there.
Yeah, there we have it. Hopefully we can see the return of the sweet boys here tonight, John. Okay, recapping the picks. If you missed the NFL section off the top of the show, Jingles went with Jonnu Smith over 34.5 receiving yards. He likes both teams to score 20 points or more, minus 115. I like that bet. I'm going with the Rams here. Cover the spread, minus 2.5. I like the over 48.5, and I like Raheem Mostert over 7.5 receiving yards. In the NBA, I'm going with the Clippers as a 7-point underdog. The Nets favored by 1.5. Mettler is going with Donovan Mitchell over 4.5 assists. Wembanyama over 3.5 assists. Cam Thomas over 22.5 points. And Chris Paul over 9.5 points. Okay, that does it for the Monday edition of the show. We're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. It's going to be another big one. Professional sports better hit and will be by to take a look at futures markets and take a look at his favorite bets on the board here for week 11 in the NFL. And of course, John Mettler will be here as well. NBA Cup. Nobody's more fired up than this guy. Okay, so we'll get into that tomorrow. So yeah, make sure you tune in. So thank you to all of my guests for joining. Thank you to producer Mick for producing. Thank you to BetMGM for sponsoring the show. Thank you. A special thank you goes out to all the veterans out there, past and present. Thank you very much for your service. Thank you to all the viewers for tuning in. Best of luck with your bets tonight. And we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!